Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, there's just so much to talk about, isn't there? There's just so daggone much for us to be able to talk about today. Hey, welcome. It's the fifth day of November 2018. Lord's not making another, and let's do as the scripture says, run with patience the race that is set before us today with the Lord as the author and the finisher of our faith. What a time to be alive. Many things to talk about. Going to try to keep focused and on target here today. And thanks for joining us. Keep popping in here one after another. And I've been sitting here for a few minutes trying to get Psalm 2 off of my heart. Psalm 2. I can't get away from it. Jared, let's go there real quick. Our Lord just keeps saying that to me. And I we're on the verge of this, of the election. And certainly they're doing everything they can do to rig the election. And I don't want to spend all morning talking about it, but it's a really, really central focus of where we are. And we've got to remember that the left, the heathen, that's what I call, why do the heathen rage? It says here in Psalm 2, and the people imagine a vain thing. The left is unhinged. We say that, don't we? They're unhinged. And I don't know for sure exactly what's going to happen with the election here, but we get better keep in mind that, well, where did I see that today, Jared? I was seeing that. Yeah, Jared, let's go to, real quickly, just to verify for you so that you all get it. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Jared, go to Genesis 3, I think it is. Let me start right there today. Thank you, Lord. I heard that. At least I think that was you, Lord. I think that. Genesis 3. Yeah. Now, the serpent, I'm going to show you something here. To me, this is unmistakable. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yeah, have God really said you shall not eat? See, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Genesis. Wait a minute. I'm in the right place. Bear with me. It just popped into my head that quickly. I'm sorry. Genesis. Okay, I'm sorry. There you go. 14, Jared. Same one. Genesis 3, 14. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. Genesis 3, scroll on down to verse 14. The Lord God said, start with 13. The Lord God said unto the woman, what the heck have you just done? And the woman said, well, that daggone snake tricked me. He tricked me, beguiled me. Hey, Jared, Webster's 1828. What's beguile? Beguile. He did what? To elude by craft, to delude, to deceive, to impose by artifice or craft, to elude anything disagreeable by amusement or other means, to pass pleasingly, to amuse, to beguile the tedious day of sleep, to laugh at, to make fun of, to beguile. So Eve says she was the serpent beguiled. Stay with me. And I ate it. He tricked me. And the Lord said unto the snake, the heck, man, why would you do something like that? Because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle. Wow. I don't want to get into this, but are the cattle cursed? You're cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And a lot of times you just read through this and you miss it, and bang, there it was again. Jared, look at this. Folks, look at this. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed. Evidently, the devil has kissed. You see that? Between, not your followers, it's your seed and her seed. So that's why the heathen are raging. See, that's who we're talking about in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Well, who are they? Well, their daddy's the devil. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. See, you're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. There ain't no middle ground. The kings of this earth set themselves out to take counsel together against who? The Lord and his seed, his anointed. Okay? And what are they saying to us? We're going to break your bands asunder, and we're going to cast their cords away from us. We'll do away from you. But the Lord, who sits in the heavens, he's laughing. And Lord shall have them in derision. Folks, they're about to go into some derision. Jared, what's a derision? What's derision? Derision, the act of laughing at in contempt. Contempt manifested. In other words, the Lord's going to be spiking the football on them. Lord's going to be dancing in the end zone. The act of laughing at them in contempt. An object of derision or contempt, a laughing stock. They're going to be a laughing stock. That's what the word says anyway. I hear somebody try to creep in. It's okay. Hang on a second. Because he that has sit in the heavens is going to laugh at him. He's going to have them in derision. He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore pleasure. Yet, hey, I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree, and the Lord shall say unto me, you're my boy. This day I've begotten. Talking about the coming of Christ. Ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Hey, Roger, why would we want the heathen for our inheritance? Why would anybody want that? And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, shall dash them in pieces like a potter. He isn't showing much love here. Lord ain't showing much love. David's not talking about friendship evangelism, is he? Says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, don't you love those words? Rejoice with trembling. Those words. When's the last time you thought about trembling when you rejoice? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye shall perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I put my trust in him. I'm blessed today. Man, I just got, that was all over me. I had to get that out. Don't know why, but I had to get that out. Had a great weekend in Bethlehem, PA. Morning, David. Great weekend in Bethlehem, PA. Let me just crack that open for you. I'm going somewhere today. We're going somewhere. We had about the most amazing thing. We had a crowd of about 25 of us, I think. Got there at 9 o'clock, and I was absolutely blown away because people that were there had come a long way. And they came a long way because they're part of the huddle. They don't get in here every day. I mean, they're not, some of them are in here, but they don't get in here every day. It's like my friend Chad Estes, our friend Chad Estes told me. He said, Coach, it's like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's what we're looking for, folks. These are people more red-pilled, thrown out of the church, Christians. They're everywhere. And we had a great time of fellowship. And Mark Trump came. Mark Trump did a wonderful, wonderful job. What a great man Mark Trump is. did a great teaching on artificial intelligence. We had Holly Baglio. We'll have Holly come on our show. She's a listener. Holly is, are you ready? You're sitting down. She is an MK Ultra, SRA, super soldier. She's 44 years old. She survived it. She tells the story of it. Powerful to hear it, man. Holly did a great job. Gary Donahoe shows up again. Bobby Lee. Steve Deck. You guys don't even know Steve Deck. I met Steve Deck at Hear the Watchman in Long Island. And you know what? He's been shaken to his core by the, he's been red-pilled and nobody around him's red-pilled. I can't emphasize this enough, folks. We are a peculiar people, man. We're a peculiar people. And I'm thinking, how am I going to keep these people occupied from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock? I don't even know them. Don't even know who they are. The activist grandma. We had to throw them out at 3 o'clock. Couldn't get them to leave at 3 o'clock. Still hungry, still wanting more. Mean Joe Green. I could go on and on. Don, how about this? Mark Trump gets up in front of him and does a wonderful presentation. And he's talking about what's going on down in Florida. Don Marshall, one of the guys there. Well, I don't know Don Marshall. He doesn't know. We don't know him. I suppose I can use his name. Don Trump, Mark Trump convinces Don Marshall to come to Florida with us. That's where I'm heading today. Come to Florida from New York. Don says, yeah, I can come. I got all kinds of tools and all kinds of equipment. And Don Marshall is going to meet up with Mark Trump in Virginia, and they're going to drive down to Pensacola, Florida. I'm just telling you, there's some folks, there's really, really something going on in the midst, really something going on. And so it was a long weekend. Drove by myself. Although something fascinating I learned, I can play YouTube videos in the car when I rent the car. That kept me occupied. I heard some good stuff. Missed my wife. I'm home getting ready. As soon as the show's over, Gary's coming down. We're heading down to Florida. Going to be down there. I got to say this. I know he didn't want me to say, I got to say this. Jim Kraft. I know Jim's in here. Jim Kraft, you know, Jim's the first guy that went down to the panhandle into the midst of all that stuff. And Jim was scheduled with his wife to be down in the panhandle November 1st through the 15th. It was just kind of the God thing. His niece and nephew, I think, were gone someplace, and Jim and Gwen were invited down to house sit down there along the beach and relax for 15 days. And then the hurricane hits. And Jim says, oh, I'll go down there. He says, listen, my wife and I, we're going to be down there anyway. We'll set things up. And as it can happen, Jim gets down there, and then sickness hits his wife's family, and she can't come down there. So Jim's down there holding down the fort while his wife's supposed to be with him, and she can't. There's problems, you know, troubles at home, and Jim's got to get. He don't complain. He don't do anything. He just says, you know, Coach, I think maybe I'm going to have to go home this next weekend. There are men like Jim Kraft. Men like him are rare. Now, I believe this. I believe they're everywhere, but they're rare. Does that make sense to you? They're everywhere, but they're rare. I'm thinking about the conversation I had with Steve Deck. I think I can use Steve. And what's bubbling up inside of him, and no avenue to be able to get it out. And that's the thing I'm most proud of, is what's going on in the heart of men. Any role or any part that this show is playing in awakening men and engaging men and putting men in the game. Brothers, man, it just blesses my heart. So we're getting ready to roll out of here again today. Jim, do you have anything to say down there? Because listen, we got a skid steer coming in from Wisconsin today. We've got a skid. We got a skid steer. I think Don's bringing one in. I think we got all kinds of equipment going in down there. We got about 8 or 10 of us are going to be on the ground here the next 4 days or so down there in Florida doing relief work. And I just want to salute Jim because he's the one that's put it all together. You there, Jim?
Hey, Coach. You hear me?
I hear you, man. Love you, Jimmy.
Man. Love you. Hey, I just want to say this is, you know, when I meet people, I just say I'm a sinful man saved by grace in need of repentance every day.
Amen.
And, you know, I can get a good night's sleep in Ohio, but I'm not sure my conscience would be able to sleep in Ohio. So don't know. I don't know how to put it any different. I'm wore out, you know, and I'm tired of being away from my wife, but I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it is. What was it we just read? What was that we just read about the fear of the Lord with Trim? What? Because that's where you are. Huh? With joy and trembling, whatever it is. It really is. And I'm getting ready. To leave too. And then I got to go to Chad's house after that. And I'll be gone. I don't like to leave my wife for a week either. But I'll be gone. Lord remembers it, right? We just thank you for the chance to be able to do it. Your sacrifice has been above and beyond the call of duty. Jim, I know you don't want any pat on the back, but we'll give you one. And so Jim set it up. We got, like I said, eight or 10 guys that are coming in here today, Mark Trump's coming back again. Mark, are you in here? I don't know if Mark's in here or not. I wouldn't blame him if he's not. Probably trying to catch up on his sleep a little bit. Boy, the Lord's got a hold of Mark Trump's heart, too. I'm telling you, boys. Steve Deck. All right. Okay. So we're going to Florida. Now, I'm going to talk to somebody out there. I'll get a hold of you. Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from there all week. And forward to that. Then after we get down in Florida, then I'm going to go to Texas because we're having the Chad's having this Texas Salt and Light Brigade, and we're going to go to Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas on Saturday. We're going to do a rally there. And Chad says we got somewhere between 30, 50 guys. We're partnering with Owen Schroyer. I imagine he's still doing it with InfoWars, although we never really heard back from him. And we're going to be there, and we'd love for you to come and join us if you want to be part of that. Can I tell you something? We had our family over for dinner yesterday. We always do every Sunday night. Family matters to us. We try to do it. And my son-in-law looked across at me at the table and said, "Man, you look tired." Yeah, I am tired. It's all good, man. I'm going to sleep in the grave for a while. I'll get plenty of rest in the grave. And I'm not asking for any sympathy, but I'm telling you, Mark Trump, Jim Kraft, and Chad Estes, and Rob Pugh, and Ray LeBlanc, and say, here, I'm going to forget people. I'm just telling you, it is weird. The scripture tells us this. Are you ready? Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Anybody know where that is? Where is that? Doesn't say, it's interesting. It doesn't say get weary. It says grow weary. You hear Jim say he's tired. He's not growing weary. He's tired. Oh, yeah, man.
We don't get credit for doing good work, brother. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. But you see, I don't want credit for it. I'm just saying,
Galatians 6:9.
Thanks. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, when it's due, not before it's ready, but in due season, we're going to reap if we faint not. So keep pressing on, brothers. Keep pressing on. That's what I would say. Okay, so where am I? Yes, go ahead.
I just want to add, we don't do it for a reward. We do it because we got the reward. We have the reward already. We're just showing our appreciation. That's all.
That's it. I said, just doing my job. People say, Coach, you're just amazing, all the stuff you're doing. I said, listen, I'm just doing my job. I watch LeBron James, watch the way he plays basketball, and people idolize LeBron James. Well, he's just doing his job. If he had those kind of skills and he wasn't great at it, well, what good would that be? You know, I have a gift. I'm using it. I'm good at it. Don't pat me on the back. I'm doing my job. You doing your job? We're all doing our job. We're all doing our jobs. We wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. That's the way I did. Nobody's more important than anybody else. Nobody more important than anybody else. Obedience. David Arthur was in Kenosha. Out there with Kevin Van Story. How'd that go, David? Or Kevin, one of you get in here. How'd that go? Did they run you out of the place?
No, it went real well, Coach. It went real well. It reminded me. It was a reminder for me of why I do what I do. Because of the men and women that came up to me in tears. You know, and some of them, they say the same thing. I hear the same thing a lot, you know. Well, one woman came up and said, I actually, she goes, you may think I'm mean or something, but I always thought that they were just born that way. She's like, but I no longer believe that now. Thank you. You know, it was amazing. It really was. It was a blessing.
And David, here's the toughest lesson I learned in ministry. I'm looking at the window behind you. You can't see it. Looks like some big ghost coming in your back window there. But I mean, it's amazing. That just broke my. Oh yeah, David. It's not about numbers. It's not about numbers, man. One person can change the world, right?
That's right. It only takes the one that's farthest from him.
Yep. And so when we get into trouble, and people, like I said, we're always looking for a scoreboard. How many were there? I don't know, and I don't care. I don't know. There were 20.
Coach, one person did change the world.
One person did change the world.
Amen.
How about Mark Trump? I just see Mark got in there. Mark Trump drove all the way 6 hours up there, was a servant, did a wonderful job in Bethlehem, PA. And we're living here in Allentown, where they're tearing all the factories down. That's where I stayed on Friday night, Allentown, PA. Billy Joel, right? Mark Trump drove to Allentown, PA, 6-7 hours, drove home. Says, I can't get enough of it, Coach. He's driving to Florida again, right? Making a difference in the lives of people right where you are, getting out of your comfort zone. Hey, Mark, why the heck are you going to go to Florida again? You just got home. What's up?
Right. I don't know if you can hear me, but headed down the road, looking forward to it. I got Don Marshall behind me. He's volunteered to bring his tractor and loader.
Amazing.
He's got equipment rolling down the road. He showed up last night about 7 o'clock. So,
Mark, this is a guy we just met this weekend, right? We just met him this weekend.
Right. That's right.
Is that something? And listen, I got to tell this story on Don. I don't think he's probably listening. You know what he told us? He used to be part of the Baptist Relief Organization. He went everywhere and did all these relief exercises. He knows how to do it. He's done it. But he can't do it with the Baptist anymore because he doesn't go to the Baptist church. Right, Mark?
That's right.
Bobby Lee shows up. Bobby Lee, is Bobby in here today? Gary Donahoe, Gary showed up. I don't know, Bobby Lee. God bless Bobby Lee. God bless. Hey, Bobby, if you're listening, you got to tell me you need a new shirt. What kind of shirt you needed, brother? You didn't tell me whether it was the Glock shirt or whether it was the other. I'm going to get bogged down here. Can I brag on David Arthur? I'm looking right at you right now. You don't know that. Can I brag on myself here a minute?
Yep.
I'm like, sometimes I feel like a grandpa. Now, or a coach. Every time I see you go do something, so wow, there's one of our guys on the field. Every time I see Mark go do something, say, look at that. Look at Mark's out there playing. Look at Jim Kraft out there playing. Look at Chad Estes out there playing. Look at Rob Pugh and Ray LeBlanc out there playing. Look at, are you kidding me? Look at Serge playing, right? Look at Tony Sumner playing.
You know what that reminds me of, Coach?
What's that?
When we were in Indianapolis, and a few people had made, you know, comments how they haven't had you speaking for a while. And then I went up and I spoke, and then Elizabeth, Apple's mommy, spoke. And then who spoke? And the Holy Spirit spoke to you and told you what he said. You're the coach. Your players are playing. You put them in the game. So you're playing. Just coach.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And he's expanding. See, he's expanding everybody's territory. I don't know if you guys can see it's going on. It's happening. We are having an in fact, I just yelled at Tony. I don't know if Tony's in it. Hey, Jared, pull that up there. Can I just, folks, I just got, there's so much stuff going on. Lord said it's exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. I'm going to show you a couple more things that are going to blow your stinking mind. Okay. I got an email from Tony. Jared, I think I sent that to you. It says Tony Sumner's email. Now, Tony's on here with us, I think. Where did I find that? Did I send it to you, Jared? If not, I got it here. Tony Sumner Okay, Jared. Okay, listen, folks. Tony Sumner's in New Zealand. He's in New Zealand. You hear me what I'm saying? He's in New Zealand. And I just got home from wherever I was, and he sends me an email. Tony Sumner sends me an email. Jared's going to bring it up there. It's got some pictures and stuff on that. I want you to see what's going on here. Here's what Tony says in this email, and he's in here. I hope we can get him on. He says, "Hi, Coach. I would like to hear Tony because he probably speaks like a New Zealander or a land down under guy. Here's the email he sent me." Yeah, thank you. It says, "Hi, Coach. Hey, I know you're busy. I'll keep it brief. We're all busy, aren't we? The Kiwi Salt and Light Brigade boys enjoyed our first taste of standing up for the Lord and put some hair on our chests. We stood outside Parliament at the Jesus for New Zealand March. The supposedly Right Honorable Trevor Mallard took it upon himself to take the name of Jesus out of our parliamentary prayer." Check out our sign. I'll show you some pictures here. "So-called Christians told us that we were upset with, that they were upset with our banner. You warned us, Coach, those of our own family, right? Right? A few other photos attached. Check them out. You'll be proud." Look at these folks. The New Zealand Kiwi Salt and Light Brigade. Do you believe this? Dishonorable Judas Mallard. These are Salt and Light Brigade members in New Zealand. Wow. Hey, one of the hard case things that happened on the march last week, beside my brother Pete making it on local news, was the Satanists came out to play a lot with the atheists, who gave them the straight, raw truth. One guy I spoke to, I could see, was ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Going down. It's true. Coach, the bonding that took place that day was like nothing ever experienced before. An older man who was with us in the faith stated it was one of the most amazing experiences of his life I've ever had. He's been a Christian for a long time. Process of preparing for the march for life that we're getting ready to stand against the satanic abortion regimen we face. Our prime minister wants to decriminalize it. You know where they're heading. Yep. Full-term abortion. Thanks to you and the huddle for the encouragement that you have no idea the impact you have on us. Sold out for Jesus, New Zealand Salt and Light Brigade. Now look at this. They made their own little, little salt shaker with New Zealand on it. Scroll on down, Jared. Do you have some of those pictures down there? That's all you got? Oh, man. Tony, can you come in there, Tony? You know, listen, it's like tomorrow or yesterday or 3 days from now in New Zealand. So, okay, Jared, a couple more pictures you can pull up. Tony, can you get in here today?
Yeah, Coach, can you hear us there?
Oh, yes.
Hey. All the way from New Zealand. I think it's 1:30 in the morning here. So,
are you coming? You're up?
Yeah, we're up. We're up.
So, Tony, tell us about it, man. Tell us about it.
Oh, Dave, I think it was a bit like you said. You know, we initially felt like we're out on a limb here.
There's a picture of him on the screen, folks. Go ahead, Tony. I'm just telling the folks there's a picture on the screen of you guys.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, yeah, it's a bit like you said, Dave. Initially I felt like I was the only guy around out on a limb. And we just got a few of the guys together, and you can see them there. And as you said,
motley group.
You don't really know. You don't really bond until you've been to war together. And we certainly got some responses from the locals there that you prepared us for, although we weren't prepared. You mentioned the other day how you kind of we get hardened to it, you know, and. We're looking forward to that day, but in the meantime, man, we're just excited. We're wrapped to be part of the Salt and Light Brigade, hooking into you guys each day and being encouraged. So thanks a million. Hey, we really enjoy it.
Tony, I can't tell you what it does for my heart. Look at these guys. They look like they're having fun sitting there on that couch. We got you up on the couch, Tony. Oh, my goodness. Rocking New Zealand. Anybody want to say anything to Tony?
God bless you, Tony. Just keep up the work, and it doesn't matter where you are in the body of Christ. We're all together. So love you, brother. Keep it up.
That's right, brother. It's the same body. That's right. One body, many members. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It looks like you started a hall of shame in New Zealand.
Got one gone. Judas Mallard. We got one gone.
More deplorables, Coach.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. Keep up the good work.
I was checking today. I'm not kidding you, Tony. I told my wife, we're going to New Zealand. I said, come on, let's go to New Zealand. And Tony, it's like $2,500 a flight. I said, gee, man, is there a boat? Is there some way to get over there? So, Tony, we're not ruling it out. We're going to have us a Salt and Light Brigade meeting in New Zealand. You inspired me to go get a passport. I don't have a passport. You inspired me to go get one. And at some point here, brother, we're going to come to New Zealand and we're going to raise up some more. In fact, Tony, I forwarded you an email today from a woman in New Zealand who's looking to plug in. So maybe you can follow up with her as well. Tony, thanks for being there, man. Thanks for encouraging us. Thanks for staying up late. I would assume it was afternoon. What day is it, Tony?
Well, it's Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday morning right now, Coach. So I got to get up in a few hours. So,
tally ho, brother, or timey kangaroo down sport, or kiwi, or whatever it is. We love you, Tony. You've encouraged us today, buddy. Go to sleep and listen to the replay.
Hey, everybody. We just talked to tomorrow.
Speaking to the future, don't we? Huh? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Now, listen. I got another one. I got another one. Go to Jared. Go to my Facebook page. Is this unbelievable? Is this unbelievable? This little podunk ministry. Unbelievable. I want you to see something, Jared. You got to scroll down there a little bit. Find a ways. I got a lot. I post a lot of memes on my Facebook page and got a lot of stuff. So a lot of memes. Go down. I want you to see something from my old buddy Don Crail. You say who? Yeah, I'm going to show you right here. This Jared gets here, he'll blow it up on the screen. Keep on going, Jared. It's amazing. There, right there it is. I have a copy of it right here. If you're looking at me, if you're looking on the screen. My buddy Don Crail. Don Crail is 85 years old. When I sit down and talk to Don, he has in a hearing aid with a little magnifier so that he can hear me. And I ran into him a couple years ago, been trying to, this sounds like crazy, encouraging. He's on fire at 85 years old, just got saved out of the Catholic Church. He constantly writing letters to the bishop, printing up flyers to hand out, mailing things, on and on and on. Look what he did, right? What you see in front of you, I hold it in my hand right here. This is a card Don copied. 85 years old. He copied 17,000 of these, printed them with his own money. On the back, I'll read that to you here in the back. And he went to the Board of Elections and he got the list of the Democrats. And he's over in the Wheeling, West Virginia area, Steubenville, Ohio. I'm sorry, St. Clairsville, Ohio. And he mailed this to 17,000 Democrats. Don was a Democrat. Don was a Catholic Democrat his whole life. His eyes got open. Look at this. Can you imagine getting this card? The Democratic Active Anti-God Agenda, the card says. Their agenda is to kill preborn babies, same-sex marriage, no prayer in school, homo scoutmasters, God out of military, all-sex bathrooms, Bibles out of hotels, hide the Ten Commandments. Vote Democrat, and you are complicit in this evil agenda. Your vote authorizes their evil actions. Don Crail, there's his name. To drive the getaway car makes you guilty of the bank robber. Vote Democrat, and you bet your soul that there is no hell. 17,000 printed and mailed out at his own expense. Now, Jared, look what's on the back of the card, folks. So you can imagine the address and look what he put on the back of it. Spirituality debate. Let's talk about the spirituality debate, Don says. You don't believe in God? Fine. Why is it so important for many of you to mock those of us who do? If we're wrong, what have we done? What have we lost when we die? Nothing. How does our believing in Jesus bring you any harm? You think it makes me stupid? Gullible? Fine. How does that affect you? If you're wrong, your consequence is far worse. I'd rather live my life believing in God and serving him and find out I was right than not believe in him and not serve him and find out I was wrong. Then it's too late. See, there's no shame in my game, he said. By the way, he put his phone number on there, return address, phone number. I believe in Jesus Christ. He said, deny me in front of your friends, and I'm going to deny you in front of my Father. He's coming back, greatest man in history. Had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He had no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His name is Jesus. Amen. Brothers, is that evangelism or what? From an 85-year-old, God
Amen,
bless you.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable?
Imagine if you're a Democrat getting that.
Can you imagine? He said he got some good calls and he got some bad calls. He's been bombarding the bishops. He got the list of all the bishops in the eastern United States, and he's been emailing them and sending them. God bless Don Crail. Don Crail. Wow. Isn't that something, fellas? Huh? Oh, Lord. Where am I here? I'm looking over here on my list. Somebody come in here a minute. Let me catch my breath a second.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's funny that you're sharing all this, but last week, I was after the show, and the guys were talking about issuing back and forth, and it was funny because I saw your face. You're just laughing because you're hearing all of us were going at it, and it was like you're just like a proud papa looking at all your kids just having it out. And it was funny to see that.
That's the way I feel too, right? That's the way I feel. And yeah.
You know, you mentioned early on in the show that you're doing what you're supposed to do, and that's get people to think outside the box and look at reality through the eyes of God, et cetera, et cetera. And this 85-year-old guy coming out of the deception and the lies of Catholicism and being a Democrat and his eyes being opened, and he immediately begins what I believe is an effective and spirit-led effort to get his message out.
Amen.
I really didn't want to, and I say this seriously, I did not desire to say this, but the Holy Spirit prompted me to say this. The reason I'm in this huddle is because I think it was on day two of the huddle, I somehow ended up here by some lady out there from Ohio suggested it to me. And the reason I'm still here is not because I believe in every conspiracy theory that comes down the pipe in here. I don't disbelieve them. I don't say that they can't be true, but I don't adhere to all of them. But the reason I'm here is because the Holy Spirit wants some balance of the truth of God's word amongst the excitement of new information.
Amen, Larry. I think we do that. We do it the best we can, for sure. Hang on here a second. I'm looking at the list. Bobby Lee, can you come in here, Bobby? Can you unmute yourself? Come in here a second. I got to meet Bobby face to face for the first time. Bobby had a little bit of rant at the end of the show, at the end of the thing on Saturday. Maybe he can't get in there. I don't. It's okay, Bobby.
Yeah, I'm here, Coach.
All right, Bobby. God bless you, man. I was just talking about your faithfulness of being there. What was your impression of Saturday, Bobby, there in Bethlehem?
Well, I enjoyed the entire 6 hours. I mean, the experience and being around like-minded people. I left there feeling quite satisfied. It was actually food. We don't get that kind of food, being who we are and awake and the information that we get on a daily basis. And it's was something far more special being there, literally face to face amongst everybody else.
That's what it is. And Bobby, I always tell them that, man. It's always a fellowship. People that you get to know and you get encouraged, know you're not alone, and it's all good.
Yeah, it's one thing to tune in here or be a part of the show, but it's actually another thing to physically show up. And it motivated me in a lot of ways. I mean, I want to begin to make it happen to where I can attend more of these things on a regular basis. I was close, but we got to make the effort to do it. I mean, there's no reason that it can't go from there. I guess there was around 25 there. There's no reason we can't have a lot more than that.
No, that's right. That's right. We'll get there, Bobby. We sure appreciate you. And I see you got my email here. I'll get that shirt out to you today. I was back. My wife was packing it up this morning, and I said, oh, I don't remember which shirt he wanted. So I just see your email that we got it, and we'll get her done, man. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Bless you, Bobby. Thanks for being there.
All right.
Man, I feel like I know these brothers, man. It's something.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to, you know, I don't do as much action as some of the men or and probably could, but I think the thing for me for the huddle, I mean, I was raised in the church since I was 15, maybe younger. And what it's meant to me about the huddle is, one, to watch the other men also in many areas, but learning the truth of God's word. And I think, I hope I speak for a number of the men, not just myself. So many things I was never taught up until being 58 years old. It wasn't even exposed to me. It wasn't even, I mean, so many of the areas of scripture. And so I hope I'm not the only one who appreciates the Bible time, the dividing. I'm so much more prepared for conversations. I'm so much more prepared for the foolishness that is going on out there. So that just, it's been God's word in the last couple of years through the huddle, just really seeing the truth.
Hey, Roger, you're going to have to send George's phone back. I know you're out rolling, man. That's probably why you're having trouble. You're breaking up here a little bit. We get it, man. I get it. I got a note over here on my thing. Meet you at the polls. I showed up yesterday at my meet you at the polls. Same five people had been there the whole time. Didn't grow much, and you know, faithful men. And I looked, and I saw they had them in Wisconsin. They had them at the polls down there in Missouri. I mean, I saw it. Faithful men, and it just again shows us where we are and what we're up against, what we're fighting against. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Dave, where that poll, where the poll's at, where we were at. Unfortunately, David Arthur was there with us yesterday. Where we were at, there's a church right next door. Right next door. I stuffed the flyers through their front door. 2 weeks. Not a soul.
And they were in there. There were people in there.
Yep.
One walked out to his truck while we were out there praying at the pole. And then looked over at us and then walked back in and then stood at the door and watched us.
Well, so listen, here's what I know. We got us some players. Let's just play ball with the ones that want to play. We get moving enough, that bandwagon will build and people are gonna jump on board. Hey, I got a couple things I want to show you here real quick, okay? Now, this may not be a big deal to you, but it is a big deal to me. And I really thought about, Lord, should I do this or not? Should I do this or not? Because no matter how I do it, it's the truth. No matter how I do it, it's not going to, right wing watching those guys, they're going to twist it, no matter how they do it. But I just feel compelled to have to show this. Jared, get it. You can get it queued up there. It says Department of Justice crackdown. Get that queued up there for me. I want you to think about something for me. I want you to think about the ethnic, that's for lack of a better term, the ethnic killings that have been taking place in America. People have been killed in churches, right? Remember that we came up with Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt is because people were killed in that church down in Texas. Pastor Tom Gill came up with that idea. We see black kids being killed all the time on the streets of Detroit, Chicago. We see little babies being murdered in the womb. We see missing children killed. We see people being killed through, I mean, just like all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of things. Murders everywhere. People are dying everywhere. But I thought it, I'm not going to say any more than this, other than I'm going to play this clip. And you, I've got, just got to be careful what I say. And I want to ask the Rod Rosenstein, Stein, whatever it is, the FBI, after the killings in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the synagogue, the FBI now has decided it's time to crack down on hate crimes. Now, I just asked myself this question. What would precipitate them cracking down on hate crimes and all these other shootings? There wasn't no crackdown on hate crime in Las Vegas when that guy killed all those people. There wasn't any crackdown on hate crimes when those kids were killed at Sandy Hook. There wasn't any crackdown on hate crimes when people were shot in a nightclub down in. There's no crackdown on hate crimes. What's going on? Just play this 2-minute clip, Jared, and I'm not even going to say anything about it. You tell me what you think.
The tragic attack on the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue just 2 days ago serves as a stark reminder of the need to protect all Americans against hate crimes. In mourning the victims today, we also rededicate ourselves to our commitment to preventing hate crimes. As President Trump said in condemning the crime, there must be no tolerance for anti-Semitism in America. And today, the Department of Justice is announcing the launch of a hate crimes website, a one-stop portal with information about all of our resources concerning hate crimes. Law enforcement officers, prosecutors, members of the public can readily find information on our website about resources to prevent and prosecute hate crimes. I encourage you to use that portal and provide feedback to us so that we can make it an even better resource in the future. Simply not reporting hate crimes does not mean they aren't happening. We need your help to help us understand the reasons why victims don't report hate crimes. We also need to understand the barriers that law enforcement officers and agencies face in reporting hate crimes to the FBI. Together, we can find ways to improve reporting of hate crimes, and that will allow us to more effectively target our resources to the places where they're most needed.
So if you don't understand the connection that I made as I watched this, you can run into a Christian church and shoot up people, and there isn't anything, no FBI investigation into hate crimes. It just blows me away. Enough said. All right. Enough said. Now, Jared, go to the Trump ad. I want you guys to see this. CNN is refusing to play it. Donald Trump, They came up with a national ad buy just before the election. CNN refuses to run the campaign video because it's too effective. Now watch, let me read down to this and then I'm going to show you the video in case you haven't seen it. Is the media allowed to affect the outcome of elections? They shouldn't be. We need a new law that would force media outlets to register as agents of the Democratic Party so voters know exactly who they can't trust. If they don't register and continue to show obvious favoritism to one party, then they can lose their broadcast license. The most recent example of the liberal bias is the refusal by CNN to air the newest political ad from President Trump that uses the images of the caravan heading to our border. No doubt they turned down Trump's ad and money because the ad is very effective. Do you understand this, folks? He's trying to buy time on CNN with this ad. The campaign is running nationally for $155 million ad buy. But Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale said CNN refuses to run it. And they wonder why conservatives think they're fake news. CNN attacked President Trump for posting a similar ad this week highlighting the dangers of criminal migrants. CNN viewers called the ad racist despite its honest content. So, Jared, scroll down here. Here's the ad. Look at this at the top of this. 6 in 9 swing voters, 6 in 9, they did research, 6 in 9 swing voters say, 6 in 9, 67% of swing voters say, keep the caravans out of the United States. 6 in 9 swing voters say, don't let them in. 67% of swing voters want immigration, illegal immigration stopped. No wonder CNN won't let this ad play. Go ahead and play it, Jared. It'll come up there in a second. Took me a while to figure out what was going on, too. This is an ad buy. This isn't news. They want to buy an ad. Thirty-second ad. CNN won't play it.
The 7,000 migrant caravan crossing Mexico, marching toward our border. Dangerous illegal criminals like cop killer Luis Bracamontes don't care about our laws. America cannot allow this invasion. The migrant caravan must be stopped. President Trump and his allies will protect our border and keep our families safe. America's future depends on you. Stop the caravan. Vote Republican.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Now, why wouldn't they run that?
Because it tells the truth, Coach. He says he's going to come back and kill more people, and that's exactly what he intends to do. It's exactly what those people in the invasion, not caravan, intend to do.
Okay, listen, I got a couple things just to finish up here with, okay, real quick. I got about 8 minutes left here.
Hey, Coach, reason they didn't run it is not because it's the truth so much, it's because it exposes the lies they've been telling.
That's exactly it. Like, they won't even take money, right? So in other words, they are biased. CNN is openly biased in refusing to run this ad. Openly biased, right? Openly biased. Hey, go, folks, listen, they're unhinged. That's what I want. Jared, go to Obama Unhinged. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I was looking for another one. This guy's in panic. Now, this lady does body language. She interprets body language. And I just want you to watch this 5 minutes. And hey, folks, I want you to watch the wild eyes of this guy and see if there ain't more at work here than just his own agenda. He's worried about his agenda being overthrown. See if you think he's acting like this just because he loves America so much. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Doing? Are you fired up, Wisconsin? So, it is good to be back in the Midwest. It is good to be close to home.
So I'm watching this. This is not the same Barack Obama that we have seen. His head goes down a lot more in that downward position. It's like a defeatist position. He's no longer that confident, head held high, arrogant type mentality. If we go back to earlier speeches.
It's good to be home.
See how this time he's talking? His shoulders don't dip down. He doesn't look for security into the podium. He's just standing tall and he's looking down towards the audience.
If I had told you 8 years ago that America would reverse a great recession.
And then the chin is up, head is back. That arrogance, that air.
Did the last time. They stripped rules to protect our air and our water, just like they did the last time. They ran up the deficits.
And he's coming down at you from a sideways look. And then he goes up with his hand.
Just like they did the last time.
And then the hand goes down, the head goes right back down.
And you know what? They know that none of this stuff is actually popular.
And the shoulders come up, mouth goes tight, arm comes down. In front of himself, protective barrier. This is desperation. And it's all in his body language. Everybody kind of already knew this, But that is what you're seeing, a desperate, desperate politician trying to convince you of the words coming out of his mouth, even though he's got teleprompters. That arrogance is no longer there. That confidence is no longer there. We're in hiding mode, we're stressed, and then we get to the fun stuff.
When it came to helping the most fortunate, the people with the most, they did not care at all about deficits.
You can cut it. You can cut it there. This goes on. It's a good video to watch, but the countenance of this guy, see, they know stuff that we don't know. They know stuff we don't know. Jared, let's go one more. I got about 4 minutes to try to squeeze this one in. Go to Wayne Allen Root, Jared. I don't know, guys, if you know Wayne Allen Root or not. Who are you going to believe? You going to believe your eyes? Huh? Well, he's a Vegas odds maker, Wayne Allen Root. He ain't no dummy. Here's what he wrote. Jared, go ahead and scroll on down a little bit that. Listen to this evidence. This is my final column before the midterm elections. Back in 2016, I predicted a Donald Trump victory when no one else dared to. The poll showed Trump would lose the presidency. He held Clinton by a wide margin. I said, nope. How did I know? First, size matters. You could see it in the rallies. Trump would attract. Let me get this out of the way. I'm sorry here. Trump would attract 8-hour lines and overflow attendance of wild, intense rallies across America. Meanwhile, the attendees at Clinton's rallies could hardly fit into a living room. Same held true all across America. This is my first clue that Trump was going to pull off a huge upset. Second, Trump was the whisper candidate. Everywhere I went, people whispered in my ear, I'm with you. I'm for Trump. They wouldn't tell pollsters. They wouldn't put up yard signs. No bumper stickers on their cars. But they whispered it to me. Don't look now, but it's happening all over again. Nate Silver at 538 says Democrats have a greater than 80% chance of winning the House. The Cook Report says Democrats will win the House by 40 seats. It's all the same experts over and over. Democrats will win. I'll go out on a limb and disagree again. I see Andrew Gillum, Florida Democratic candidate for governor, holding a rally with Bernie Sanders, and the place is empty. Barack Obama could not fill a high school gym in Milwaukee. I saw Joe Biden and Obama at separate events here in Las Vegas playing to small crowds. Meanwhile, I was an opening speaker for a Trump rally at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and there were thousands waiting in line for hours. Does that sound like the GOP's losing 40 seats? Dream on, delusional Democrats. Nothing has changed. Trump has fulfilled almost all of his campaign promises, and those same voters are whispering to me again. They love Trump. Now more than ever. And third, common sense. The Trump economy's booming. The latest results are out. 250,000 more jobs last month. 1,000 new manufacturing jobs per day. Most in October since 1998. It's the lowest unemployment in half a century for Hispanics, Latinos. The unemployment rate in October 2018 was the lowest on record. The number of employed Americans is the highest ever. Wages grew by a remarkable 3% in October, most in a decade. Who in their right mind would vote against that? Most importantly, Trump's approval rating among black Americans is now 40%. Most importantly, Trump has brilliantly kept the emotional issue of illegal immigration on the front and center. He wants to block the caravan and birthright citizenship. A poll from Numbers USA says 65% of likely voters in swing districts across the country agree with that. Middle class will come out in record numbers for Trump. Bet on it. 2000 midterm election in Texas, 1.7 million people voted early. 2014, 1.7. This year in Texas, it's 4.3 million. With a booming economy and illegal invasion in the headlines, do you really think people are coming out to vote for the Democrats? No way, Jose. I'll go out on a limb and predict another upset for the GOP on Thursday. Republicans will expand their Senate majority, 3 to 6 seats, be very close, but the GOP will hold the House. And America stays bright red. Wayne Allen, that's the way I see it too. That's the way I see it too. So listen, got to run. Be live and in color. I think I'll be in color from Panama City or someplace like that down in Florida tomorrow. We're going to spend a week down there. Be praying for us. Keep us safe. Chainsaws buzzing. Skid steers gone. Craig coming all the way down from Iowa. And, pray for Jim Kraft, man. You heard him say he was weary at the beginning of the show. Man, have we got a team on the field? Huh? Have we got a team on the field? Have we got some butt guys playing or what? Time to make America great again. And only Christ, only the gospel can make us great again. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.